This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. This is going to be a day where you're going to learn at least a little bit about one of the more complicated issues in the state, and that's going on. And we're talking about the voucher system as things continually try to change in the educational system. And in many cases, I think most of us feel it's really not for the betterment of our kids. And I have Dr. Cindy Jones on again today.
Morning.
And Cindy, it's always good to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's like I'm back in school again.
Oh, well. I'll put you in detention. Watch out.
Well, please don't. I spent most of my time there when I was going
did.
To school. Yeah, thank you very
you
much. And we want to let you know that this part of Cindy's show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means At Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, reach them at 713-4639 or online at homecaretennessee.com. You know, a lot of the bills and a lot of the changes in state government that go through are fairly complicated because there are so many facets that work within the bills themselves. But to me, right now, the most complicated issue, and hard for most of us to understand,
yes,
is the voucher system.
Exactly.
And you are probably the foremost expert on what is going on with the voucher system. And you can relate to each and every one of us, the citizens in the community, what we're looking at and what should we be doing about it.
Well, Truman, you're very wise to say it's a complicated issue. When you're dealing with people and money, it's always very complicated. And there are no silver bullets. There are no easy fixes to complicated problems. And the first thing I think we have to is back up and look at the definition. A voucher is a bond which is worth money and it's supposed to be spent on a specific good or thing or product. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear the term opportunity grant, and I don't know why this euphemism is coming about, but we'll talk a little bit how it may not be a perfect opportunity, but it certainly is not a grant. Mm-hmm. By definition, a grant is money given by an organization, and that requires an application and forms and resumes, and you have to follow guidelines and deadlines, and that is not what a voucher is. So we're going to call it today what it is. A voucher is a voucher is a voucher. And probably there are several points that we need to think about before jumping into a voucher system for Tennessee. Just recently, we've done a lot of reform in Tennessee.
Right.
We have an evaluation system that your former guests that were just on all told me at a legislative forum, every single one of them, that the evaluation system for teachers, and we're not afraid of being evaluated, was rolled out way too quickly. Mm-hmm. And there are flaws. There are teachers that get evaluated on children they've never taught mm-hmm. or even seen. So there's a lot of tweaking that has to be done. We're also going from Tennessee standards to something called Common Core. And this is where about 24, 25 states in the United States have gotten together and said, let's all agree on what are the core things that our children need to learn. Mm-hmm. Just like in America, we have core values. Our core values are like honesty, a work ethic, goal-directed behavior, patriotism. We have like 13 or 14 core values.
Right.
So these states have said, okay, let's in Tennessee have our children and our teachers work for these core, called Common Core standards. Well, the teachers right now are also on top of the evaluation system, transitioning from our Tennessee standards to Common Core. They are so confused and overwhelmed at this point.
Right.
So my point is, I think before we jump to anything else added to the mix, let's let some time go by and let things settle, mm-hmm. and let's get the evaluation system and how that can help remediate teachers worked out. Let's let Common Core get understood and implemented. And that will help a lot. It's like if you've got a cold and the doctor gives you penicillin and maybe a cough medicine, you don't want to run and get 1,000 other medicines in there, which might complicate the issue.
You know, it's kind of like...
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. What's happening, it seems to me, is that we're actually rushing to judgment.
We are rushing.
And we haven't really named what the real problems are.
No, they have not. And it depends on the different measures you use. Like right now, Tennessee can boast that we're in the top 10 in graduation rates, but we are in the bottom 10% of all the states in the United States in funding. And so you get figures like, well, we're 47th in that. Well, that's in funding. We're 42nd is, and I know people know that Tennessee can do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, what is wrong? What is the problem? Well, there isn't a single problem. There are many different problems, mm-hmm. and we have to take time to peel the layers off the onion and see and fix as we go in a carefully studied way. We are rushing. We don't understand it, mm-hmm. and that's just not good. But that's gambling with our kids, and I think that's dead wrong. We need to slow down and study.
You know, you look, and some of the things I've heard are just totally ridiculous because I know better because I've worked with the school system in a number of ways. The people think that teachers are out there making a ton of money.
Oh, gosh, you know we're not.
Here you've got A students that have done well all the way through school academically, and they are the type of people, they want to go in the classroom.
Yeah.
You're not going to make a lot of money.
No.
You're not going to have a great retirement.
No.
A lot of people don't realize that the Tennessee State retirement system is one of the lowest anywhere in the country, percentage-wise, of what you make.
But it's also one of the best run. And believe it, that's
why it's so solvent. It's conservative.
That's right. But the gentlemen and ladies you just had on want to change it. That's another change they want to. They want to change it to like a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, stop. Don't mess with something that does not need to be fixed.
You look at all the money that's still sitting there.
It's sitting there.
It's unbelievable. And it has never had a problem. And financially, it's always been very solvent.
It is. But it is low in what it gives the teachers. But, you know, there's a trade-off there for how solvent and how very well managed and conservative it is.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of it. So, you know, I was talking to Jim Tracy the other day, and he said, oh, it's not sustainable. And I said, well, why do you want to change it to a 401k for the newer teachers? Heck, they already have low pay, not great benefits. All this crush of paperwork, the evaluations, all this stuff, now you want to add to that you're going to have a 401k retirement, which might, depending on market fluctuations, give you nothing? How is that going to attract our best and brightest? Again, let's think before we jump into these things.
How do corporations attract the brightest people?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, they pay them well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get angry at them if they don't do the greatest job. They find ways to help them. Mm-hmm. They pay for them to go to school and get advanced degrees. They pay them when they get advanced degrees. That's another bill that's coming in, to not pay teachers for their advanced degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to even begin to talk about that one. But corporations keep them by
paying them. But they're going to be paid by the scores that the students give out.
Yeah. I mean,
it does.
It just boggles the mind.
It's remarkable. I can't really see where there's any common sense in
it. Well, there isn't. And I think there's a lot of, like with Governor Haslam, there's a lot of errors of the head and not of the heart. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee legislators and the governor and everybody else, Mr. Huffman, everybody, they want to make Tennessee better. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want that? But the errors are of the head. They're not looking and listening and asking teachers and asking parents. And I'll tell you a thing I'm really kind of afraid of. I was checking the Tennessee State Constitution mm-hmm. to see about vouchers. And what it says, I've got it down verbatim, blah, 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 we must provide for the maintenance, support, and eligibility requirements of a public school system. Now, vouchers strip away critical funds from schools and give them to private institutions. That seems unconstitutional to me. We may mm-hmm. have to amend the state constitution. It's not separation of church and state. That's not in our constitution, nor is it in the Tennessee state constitution. Mm-hmm. It's just a tenet we've lived by. But there's many people who say, you know, Truman, I don't want to tithe to your church and your church school, mm-hmm. and I bet you don't want to tithe to mine. And a lot of people are offended by the fact that there's a blurring of the church and state issue there, too. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that upsets people. But a lot of it is, with vouchers, you're giving money to large organizations such as KIPP, and Bill Gates has got a lot of money coming into it. And I'm all for local control. Mm-hmm. I want our parents in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County and our people to tell us what they think is best. Mm-hmm. Why are we giving away local control to large organizations? I think that's like a step in the wrong direction also.
It's hard to educate the public. You know, it's hard to even understand it when you understand it, what's
yes, sir.
Going on. But when the people do not know where a large portion of their monies are going,
yes, sir.
And is it really taxation with representation?
That's a very good point. That's a super good point. Another thing we need to think about is, and I'm not against private schools. Mm-hmm. I work at Webb right now. I did in the past. My son went to Webb mm-hmm. From eighth grade through college, and then he went through a private college. So I am not against homeschooling. I'm not against charter schools if they're within a school system. I'm not against any of that. But Tennessee can be patted on the back because we have very strong requirements for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look up what a teacher makes, if she is he or she is highly qualified, the background. You can go into the schools. You can ask about the budgets. It's all open. Private schools don't have to do that. They don't have to test. They don't have to have, even the teacher doesn't even have to have a teaching license. And when you look at what they don't have to do, you have to kind of scratch your head and say, how do I know if there's quality there? Mm-hmm. You don't want to throw your child over into a school if you are not assured of what a quality education you're getting. Now, vouchers have been around for 50 years, Truman. Mm-hmm. And in looking at the research, and I've called all around, I spent the last 3 or 4 days looking at research, so I kind of know what I'm saying to you today. There is no research that says a voucher system which sends public funds to private institutions will make any difference whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
These schools are just as good as and just as bad as public schools.
Hmm.
The statistical significance, and I don't want to get into all that stats stuff, is zero. There's no correlation. So why we're jumping to an ineffective quick fix is kind of like, are we infected with a disease called silver bulletism?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a silver bullet. You know, so then that gets to the question of, well, would vouchers help any certain population? And they could, especially in our very, very inner city schools where there are gangs and crime and drugs and the schools are just in a shambles of what to do to help these children that suffer so.
So basically what you're saying is some of your top schools that have bragging rights, like here in Rutherford County. Rutherford County
yes.
is probably in better shape than almost any county
yes, it
in
is.
The state of Tennessee.
Yes, it is.
So,
it does not need vouchers.
And almost
nope.
80% of our tax monies will go into the education system here in Rutherford
County. Right here in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro
City. So what you're saying, if the voucher system becomes in effect in a large scale, the people that are paying their tax money here and keeping their schools at a top level
here
are also aiding the schools in Memphis and Davidson County and places like that that want to go to the voucher.
Exactly.
That's remarkable. Plus, it's going to the private schools.
Yes. And here's the deal. A lot of minority families say, well, look, I just want to take my kid out of this rat-infested school with gangs and drugs and bullying, and I want to take them to a nice, quiet school where I know they'll do better. And those children do better when they can get out. But here's the problem. These private schools are so expensive that the little $5,000-$6,000 will not cover it. I look to see with reputable schools, meaning the ones I know have a long history of good education, of what they cost. Webb turned out to be the cheapest in this area.
Your kid.
It's $13,500 for tuition a year, over $32,500 if you board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so a person wants to send their child there. Well, you've got that expense.
Now, Webb is a nationwide type school, isn't it?
It's got one in Knoxville and one in California.
Uh-huh. People come in from other states.
From all over the world, yes. But you've got to realize there's eligibility requirements with some of these private schools. I've got an example that nearly floored me. Northland Preparatory Academy in Flagstaff, Arizona, didn't want certain types of children or families. So they opened their enrollment for 4.5 hours a year, mm-hmm. an hour here, a half hour there. So parents, unless you were very wealthy and could get there, you couldn't get into the school.
Mm.
And then there's incidentals at private schools. You've got books, you've got uniforms. No school that I saw covered free and reduced lunches. There's fees for sports. And then special ed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of children who've been in failing bad schools need a lot of help. And private schools don't have to do that. They don't. So you send your child there, and they don't, if they have an IEP, individualized education plan, because they need speech or they have problems like autism or something, those needs don't have to be served. Mm-hmm. Then there's transportation. That's what kind of fouled up Great Heart Academy up in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
was the parents couldn't pay for the transportation. And then there's other things. They're free to do whatever they want. You're just going to laugh at this example. The Cambridge Lakes Charter School in Pine Tree Grove, Illinois, mandates that each student's family invest in the company that built the school building. They can do this. So in 50 years, vouchers have just gone in all different directions, and they're still controversial. They're still unproven. They're still a real squishy thing to jump to. And we really don't need it here in Murfreesboro City or Rutherford County. We really don't.
Why is it that government always feels like that they can solve any problem by throwing a lot of money into it without doing the proper research?
That's
the thing that kills me.
I don't know. I am totally against just throwing bad money or good money after bad. But there's research. I mean, for example, I was just teaching at the Discovery School, and we have laptops for every child, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. This is an amazing thing. So if I have a child that has a learning problem or is stumbling over fractions, I can say to the children, all right, please open your computers, and let's get on funbrain.com, or mm-hmm. and I want you to do this, which definitely aligns with a Tennessee state standard, and I'm going to ask you to work on it for 15 minutes while I pull Mary and Joe and Susie over here. We're going to work on fractions for a minute. Not all schools have that at all, not even in Murfreesboro City. That's an example where a lot of money would do a lot of good,
mm-hmm.
because the children need to know about computers, and the programs that are on computers now are amazing, and that they augment what a live teacher does. So that's an area where we could spend money that would totally help the schools. Distance learning equipment. Down in Bedford County, it's amazing. Every school has distance learning equipment. These huge TVs and everything. I used it to video conference with China in December about Christmas with our Chinese school class down there. What a great thing rural schools could do and our smaller schools with distance learning. There's another way. So there's a lot of things that we could do to make education better. Another thing I'm finding is that principals will confide with me and say, you know, Cindy, I evaluated this teacher and she's really weak in math, but you know, I'm weak too. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So why not spend some money in saying to principals, what do you need to get better on? And pay money, send them to training, get the experts in. Mm-hmm. Same with teachers. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets to a medical model. Truman, what do we do when somebody gets sick in the United States? Do we yell at them and berate them? No. We support them. Mm-hmm. We go in and diagnose them, don't we? Yeah. And then we remediate, and then we capitalize on their strengths, but we remediate what's wrong, what's sick, what's mm-hmm. ailing. And then as they're recuperating, we support them and we cheer them on. Mm-hmm. Well, we could do the same with our schools. Mm-hmm. They do it in other countries.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Cindy Jones.
That update brought to you by Bosch Appliances. Bosch Appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power and Associates. Find the great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers at your local Bosch dealer.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Ted Werbin. A flagrant misuse of a library computer.
A man is suspected of looking at child pornography at the Nashville Public Library. On Thursday, someone in the library noticed the disturbing images Jeffrey Ron was viewing on his computer. Police were called, and Ron admitted to viewing child porn.
TRN's Andrew Warren. Nashville and Memphis among five airports chosen to participate in TSA's expedited security screening program. The so-called pre-check initiative will enable travelers who pose no security risk the opportunity to move through the screening process more quickly. An investigation into the cashing of counterfeit checks at retailers in Southwest Virginia and Northeast Tennessee results in charges against dozens of suspects. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Abingdon says 68 people have been charged with one count of conspiracy.
Hello, this is Bill Taylor, owner and chief instructor of the Bushido School of Karate with two locations here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'd like to tell you about our summer program starting June 1st with lessons going until the end of July. This program is for adults or children. Our summer program is for 2 months of lessons, comes with a uniform, free belt exams, free private lessons, free t-shirt, and a whole lot more. If you've ever thought about trying martial arts, for children or adults, this is a great way to get started. Anyone that registers for our summer program before May 1st can do this great program for $99. For more information or in order to contact us, please visit our website at bskonline.com. That's bskonline.com. Our summer program includes lessons for all ages, June and July, only $99 if you register before May 1st.
WGNS FM, AM, and TV 11.
Inmate now charged in some 1996 slayings in Nashville.
Nashville police say a 37-year-old California prison inmate has been indicted on murder charges in the tanning salon deaths of two teenage workers 17 years ago. The announcement Thursday came one day shy of the anniversary of the stabbing deaths of Tiffany Campbell and Melissa Dawn Chilton.
TRN's Dan Item. Fires destroyed the cook shack at country singer Loretta Lynn's Dude Ranch. The fire broke out last night on the ranch at Hurricane Mills in Humphreys County. Nobody was hurt. A couple who fled Germany with their five children over fears they would lose custody for not sending them to school has asked a federal appeals court to grant them asylum in the United States. The 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decided this week to hear oral arguments in April. I'm Ted Werbin, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Weddings start at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show.
Inspiring new wedding ideas. Expert advice from wedding professionals to save you time and money.
Find everything for your wedding at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show.
Starting at noon this Sunday, February 24th.
At the Murfreesboro Embassy Suites. Tickets and details at thepinkbride.com or call 865-531-3941.
Start your wedding at the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show this Sunday.
Where is the best barbecue in town? At 1920 East Main. The best barbecue for miles around is at 1920 East Main. You can buy it by the pound, sandwich, platter, or plate. No matter what you choose, it will taste great. You can come with a friend, by yourself, or with a date. The Slick Pig Barbecue. Barbecue pork, beef, or chicken, Brunswick stew, down home atmosphere, and they cater. Slick Pig Barbecue. It's the best.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raider basketball teams as they hit the court for big Sun Belt matchups in Murphy Center this week. The women take on South Alabama tonight at 7 o'clock, while the men battle the Jags tomorrow at 7. Then on Saturday, both the men and women take on Louisiana Monroe on Senior Day. It's a doubleheader starting at 3 o'clock. Tickets are just $10.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU.
We'll have overcast skies for your Friday forecast. Highs in the upper 50s with the wind turning to the west-southwest. Patchy fog tonight, mainly cloudy skies and a low of 38. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Right now, 52.
Cindy Young is the WGNS Ryan's Flowers Good Neighbor of the Day today. Someone wrote in to tell us that even though Cindy is going through several health-related issues, she still has time to dedicate to her family on a daily basis. Congratulations to you, Cindy Young, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts today. Savannah Bigelow receives the birthday cake. She is turning 12 today, so happy birthday, Savannah. And enjoy that birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We got camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Dr. Cindy Jones. And while you were talking, I got to thinking, and I said something a little bit about it while we're off the air. The legislators have very little time to read and consume all the bills that come in front of them.
That's
of course,
exactly
they do have
right.
assistance, and they're supposed to research some of that. But the complicated issues, like some were in law enforcement, a lot of them are in education. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of times on a weekly basis, I would have calls from some of our representatives and tried to explain as much in detail as I could how it was going to affect each community that would be affected by it.
Right.
But the issues that have come out in the last few years that are regarding education
yes.
are things that are so difficult, I'm not too sure that a good plan could come up in the short time that we're seeing it. It's obviously not working in the classroom, and it's not working with the educators. So, you know, you're stepping back, and let's see. I don't think trial and error works in education. I think you have to have a plan,
yes.
and I think it has to be a partnership with the legislators who are actually passing and the educators who are going to be the recipients of what's going on.
You've got a good point. An example of our legislators not knowing what they're passing was at the legislative forum we had at Case and Lane. We had Carr and Sparks and all the people you had on, just Miss White and Jim Tracy and Mr. Ketron, and I admire all of them greatly. But a question came up, why did you take away the due process for our EAs, our educational assistants. And they looked dumbstruck. They said, what are you talking about? And we said, well, these teachers' aides require 2 years of college mm-hmm. and or to pass an expensive praxis exam, which is costly, $500 to $1,000. So they're not just a little mommy coming in. They're important people. And they said, well, we didn't take away due process. And we said, well, yes, sir, yes, yes, ma'am, yes, you did. And they said, so I said, what's your rationale? And they had no rationale. They said, well, we're not even aware of the bill. Would you mm-hmm. send it back to us, please, so we can look at it? Mm-hmm. So I know they have a lot on their plate. But again, that's another way for, a means for taking your time, going back, studying, and researching. An interesting survey just came out yesterday that teacher dissatisfaction all over the United States is at an all-time 25-year high. And they're just miserably unhappy, most of them. And the three factors are increased class size, mm-hmm. Because they want to do a great job with everybody, and 30 children are harder to teach than 15 or 20. All right. Stress from all this overemphasis on testing, and the fact that our guidance teachers are not in there working with the children. They're doing the tests and sitting in a meeting about tests. They're not, you know, looking at our children, some of our more disturbed children, and helping them. And just general budget cuts, taking the arts out of our schools, or not in Rutherford County or Murfreesboro City, but in a lot of places. And I wonder, how are we going to attract the best and the brightest teachers to this profession?
How do you build a rapport with a kid in school the way things are right now? I know that's one of the goals of most teachers, because there's something very satisfying after you get older and you see all of your students have gone on to be successful, and they attribute a lot of that success to you mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. and being a great role model for
right.
them and listening to them.
Right. And also passing on the values of our country, those core values I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You have to do that by demonstration, mm-hmm. by demonstrating a commitment to a goal and working hard and giving 100% when you don't feel like it mm-hmm. and showing patriotism. But I think people are starting to understand that test scores are not the end-all be-all. We have to help the child socially, otherwise you're going to have Columbines and shootings in Connecticut if we don't get mm-hmm. to these children who need help. You have to have the time. Doesn't matter what test scores that child gets. You need your guidance teacher, your social workers in with those children. And you have to help them emotionally, socially, physically. If you notice there's a problem that mm-hmm. you as a teacher have seen children over there, or a learning disability. Mm-hmm. One of your sponsors for Ryan's Flowers here mm-hmm. was a student that I tutored, Sheila. Hi, Sheila, for many, many years, and now she's extremely successful. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because of her test scores. It was because of all the little issues we worked through as she struggled with a few little issues in school. And she worked very, very hard. And I still hear from her today mm-hmm. that, you know, it was not, I don't remember you for the test scores. I remember you for all the other peripheral things that you did to help me become a well-rounded person. And this is what we want for America. People are coming from China and all over the world to learn about our problem-solving techniques, our critical thinking, our higher level. And this is all being pushed to the side because of test scores mm-hmm. and other silly regulations. So we have to really step back and, like you said, we need a partnership. We need to work together to say, wait a minute, let's just slow everything down and see what we can do that's logical. And involve the teachers and the parents, local control.
Well, that big boulder is rolling down the mountain right now, and it's gaining momentum.
Yes.
And somehow it has to be slowed down, and education and government needs to get together. And the people need to let their legislators know that there is a problem
yes.
out here. And we
yes.
need to solve it as quick as possible.
Let me tell you three major trends that I'm seeing, and major, like we're talking about, major educational reform. One school of thought, and this is from like the best and the brightest all over the world, mm-hmm. is fire the bottom performing 5% of teachers each year and push out the those 5% that are near retirement because they're very expensive. And they think that if you do this year by year, that this somehow will improve schools.
That's all that experience is going to
yes,
be
sir.
Gone.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir. Another one that has some merit is to study countries like Finland, whose education system is top in the world. Now, I wrote an article for the Daily News Journal, I think, two summers ago. Here's what they do. And see how logical this sounds, since we've been talking about all this illogical stuff. First of all, they have tremendously intensive training for teachers for up to 5 or 6 years. And they call out those that can't do that. Mm-hmm. After the 5 or 6 years, they have a year of very rigorous residency, like a doctor's residency, at only the top performing schools with the top teachers. If they can pass all that, then they are given very high pay, mm-hmm. like a lawyer or a doctor. They have extremely generous benefits, like helping with their first mortgage, a lot of good health perks. And here's an interesting idea. When immigrants come in who do not speak Finnish, they separate them for 1 to 2 to 3 years in a separate school where they are taught their native tongue along with Finnish. Mm-hmm. Finally, when they can speak fluent Finnish, they come back into the schools where they can understand and succeed, and they sit for tests. Mm-hmm. In America, of course, we give a teacher in a classroom 1 year to get a kid, and or try the poorly LL teachers try to do it, mm-hmm. and then we make them take the regular TCAP test. How, mm-hmm. they can't even read it. How ridiculous is that? And this is the most interesting one. They work hand in hand with teachers' unions, mm-hmm. because I heard I guess she's a president or whatever she's called, the head of the Finland. She did a video and she said, "Why would we work not hand in hand with teacher unions? We all have the same goal." Mm-hmm. So every teacher over there is in a union, mm-hmm. and they work together and share information and share ideas, and then they have the arts in the school because they believe the arts move the basics along. So I think that's a great idea. But here's a third school of thought. They talk about what we kind of said, total retraining. We spend money to send current teachers back to school. We pay for the subs for the days that they're out. We give monetary incentive to those who even do more. We help the principals become better at remediating after evaluations. We have higher pay with better benefits, lower class size, and we value every child in America. We make sure everybody who's unique gets a good education, because that's what made us strong in the first place. We are a nation of debtors and ADHD people who ran over to America with no money and they're criminals, and look what we've become because of a good public education. So we've got the underpinnings of a great public education. We may have gotten off the track in some areas, but working together and putting good money into good places will help us. But I think the Finnish system and studying Singapore and some of these other countries that do so well, that's some merit too. Why reinvent the wheel?
You know, it's amazing to me. Someone, I don't know who he was, because I read the article that he did a study and found out that when teachers went on to advance their education, whether it be a doctorate or you mm-hmm. know at the highest level, they said that they really didn't make any difference in the classroom.
I can't imagine that.
And I just wonder how they did their study. You know, you can
you
do
don't
that
know. Oh,
in,
yeah.
In any form.
In any form,
and
prove
come
anything.
Out however you want to.
Exactly.
But it's a. I'm constantly amazed at all the things that are coming out that are anti-educators in this country.
It's just
and one thing I'm always have to laugh at. They say that they think that the union that the teachers belong to is like a union that you would find
it is not. It's actually called an association,
right.
But I use the word union because people don't understand the distinction. And it's helped me a whole lot, because when I'm working with your grandchildren and people, I want to give my full attention to them, go home. I still work at home, then give a little time to my family. I don't have time to delve into the issues like I do now that I'm retired. Mm-hmm. So I ask my union many times to go ahead, my association, to go ahead and find this out for me. Help me understand this. Get me information on that. And I wish that they had the power that people think they had. Mm-hmm. Our Murfreesboro Education Association has worked for many years. I was president for a number of years and chief negotiator for more years than that. And we had a great rapport with Dr. Jones and Miss Mathis, and we do with Dr. Gilbert. And we try really to work together and hash out ideas, but that's not always the case. But no, unions don't have all that power. They really don't. I wish they did, but they don't. Not the education unions. They certainly don't.
But it's aimed to assist you in your profession.
Yes, yes.
To help in the classroom. What can we do better to help the kids in the classroom?
Than to help the teachers become better teachers.
How are you going to establish a dialogue with the people that are actually passing all of the laws that govern education?
It's kind of hard to get to them. The people that you had on before, I went up on the Hill on Tuesday to try to talk with them. And of course, when you sit in the audience, you can't say anything. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, they all were in their gallery, and they all exited out the back way. They didn't come to where all the people were. Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk to them about charter schools and about vouchers. Mm-hmm. You have to make special appointments to go up there on the Hill, and now an everyday teacher cannot do that. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is a trend, Truman, is the we retired teachers who care for our children still. We don't go, oh, we're out of education, therefore we don't give a rip. We're going up there in force. In fact, I'm going up again Monday to make appointments and to try to talk to them. And I just ask them to have an open mind and just to listen to maybe the other side of the story or a different idea. Unfortunately, some of them will say to me, well, that's, I understand, I sympathize with you, that's a great idea, but I'm going to vote with my caucus. And to me, that's a closed mind, and I won't vote for that person. And I'm an independent. I vote for whoever I think has an open mind and cares for American public education.
Yeah, when you're in the grassroots part or the local, and I call that community government. I don't think parties,
mm-hmm.
whether it be Republican, Democrat, independent, or whatever, I don't think that a person should tie themselves to that party when you're talking about what's right in your community.
Not at all.
And you know, one of the grassroots things that I've always loved with people that are either in politics or maybe they have a special issue, they have these meetings, the grassroots meetings, and I've always thought maybe if the teachers could kind of organize and have meetings with the citizens in the communities.
It'd be great.
And let them know what's going on and how they are affected. Their kids are in the classroom, mm-hmm. and how they're affected monetarily when they pay their taxes and things like that.
Yeah, because I'm sure most people think the guidance counselors are in there helping the children all the time, mm-hmm. and they're not. They're not. They're not. We don't even have enough speech teachers, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to go around and help the children in that area. So I'm not sure that people are aware of exactly where all their tax dollars are going. They assume that every child in the United States has a good textbook, and they don't. They don't. And I'm sure people thought that every school in Murfreesboro City has enough laptops and working computers for their children. And I'll tell you what, no, they don't. I wish they did. There's just not enough funds to go around for that. So it's hard to have a dialogue, and I think that's great. I know we have educational forums, but maybe you're right. We need to get off our chair and start involving parents more, because, again, we're all for, teachers are all for local control, and we want to know what you want, and we want to tell you what things will work and what things might not work, and want you to listen and maybe help us think it through. We're all for cooperation.
That's the only way that you can really understand what's going on.
Exactly.
I would bet, and I think most of the legislators are trying to do the right thing.
They are.
They're overloaded. Uh-huh. There are too many bills. I was glad to hear that they were going to have, maybe 15 this time. And sometimes I think that's too much because there are so many that are still on the books that need to be erased completely.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And a lot of times, I mean, something like this, it needs to be started all over again. They could go back to the way things were and then start working on the issues of what are we going to do. Now, I've known a number of teachers that have gone in the classroom that they did not stay long.
Oh, no.
Because of a number of issues, and some of them are the ones that you have stated.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they're just plain afraid in the classroom. The discipline in the classroom is very difficult in some areas.
It's very difficult with a lot of
restrictions. How can you control a classroom when you do you really don't have the tools to do it with.
It's really difficult. There's one specific school in our system right now that's having a lot of problems, I believe. I don't want to say the name of the school because it's a wonderful school, but so far this year, 21 teachers have either been cussed, hit, or bitten, mm-hmm. and that's ridiculous. And it's not the teacher's fault. It's the fault of parents. It's the fault of the particular group of children that they have. And so that's a real concern. Mm-hmm. And perhaps mentors could come in, community mentors. There's a lot of different ways we could deal with it. But blaming the teachers for this, and I think that's how some of them feel, is not the way to do it. But if you've got to maintain control in the classroom, you need some perhaps hands-on mm-hmm. discipline. You need to be able to keep the atmosphere conducive to learning. But what I found, Truman, in the past is that sometimes people get on the bandwagon. They read, oh, the teachers are bad, oh, education is bad, oh, the sky is falling. And in my last years of teaching, sometimes I put articles in the DNJ about our negotiations for contracts and stuff. And the comments I got were very negative. So I was really kind of afraid to put information out to the community without a face-to-face interaction, because I think people just want to, unfortunately, human nature, assume the worst and think teachers are whining and complaining. So we tend to be a timid bunch in going in front of people because we care so deeply. We get kind of overly emotional, but our hearts are in the right place. But we like to think with our heads and our hearts. Mm. But my heart goes out to the legislators. They really are do have a hard job, and they're making mistakes. And it's like I said, that's why retired teachers are going up trying to talk with them, talk a little sense into them maybe.
Yeah, they need to learn like most of the rest of us. The sky is not really falling.
The sky is not really falling. How can we be the best nation in the world? Something worked right in our education. Uh-huh. Now, do we need to keep on that same path? Maybe not. But why is everyone coming to see how we do it in education? Is like China spending billions of dollars sending his teachers over here to learn how we are doing it? Mm-hmm. My teacher, Dong Mei Wong, and down at Thomas Magnet, says to me after a couple months here, Cindy, why are the schools going back to the failed Chinese method of mm-hmm. learn and regurgitate on a test? I want to learn new ways. Show me new ways, because our country needs it. And so we have a lot of good going on in our schools. And again, if you don't think that, go into a school and spend a day and talk to teachers and watch how hard they work and how hard everyone is trying to do the very best they can with what they've got, and see what they need.
You know, we're in a world where communication really seems to be lacking.
I totally agree with you.
And it's personal communication. I mean, They have things that they deal with all the time, but they don't interact like they should.
No.
And I've seen a lot of that in the last 5 to 10 years. I've seen no accountability.
No. A sense of entitlement.
Right.
Yeah, and very difficulty with communication. That's why, like, at Case and Lane, we started out as a Paideia school, mm-hmm. and that's where one of the components is seminaring, where you put out a problem like, should we be able to burn the flag, or some controversial issue with the older children and easier issues with the younger children. But K through 8, you sit and you have formalized discussions, and you teach them how to disagree without getting emotional or pulling mm-hmm. out a gun and shooting somebody or calling somebody a name, and understanding how to listen before you speak. And with our press with standardized teaching, we don't have time for that important skill. But what is more important than communication?
Neither do the parents.
Neither do the parents.
Yeah. We'll be right back with you.
Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? This is Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. And while no one can control the market, you can take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today, such as attractive prices on quality investments. At the same time, it is important to be well-positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Call me, Lee Colvin, at 907-7056, or stop by my office today on Rutherford Boulevard in the Public Shopping Center. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
This is Sheila from Ryan Flowers and Gifts. We've been here in Murfreesboro for over 70 years. If you ever need anything for any particular occasion, please give us a call. We have items starting out at $35 for your funeral needs. We also have your tapestries, your angels, churches, books of love for anything that you may need for that special loved one who has passed on. Ryan's Flowers and Gifts is located at 117 South Academy Street. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
Are you driving around in a state of doubt, wondering how your car insurance will really take care of you? I'm State Farm Agent Monty King. Let me get you to a better state, a state of confidence that the coverage you're driving around with is actually driven by your wants and your needs. That's why 97% of the people who've had claims with State Farm would recommend us, without a doubt. Give me a call at 220-2210. You'll see how easy and affordable it can be.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Monty King in Smyrna. Give me a call at 220-2210.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
All right, welcome back with Dr. Cindy Jones.
Hi there.
And Cindy, we've covered a lot of issues.
Yeah, we have.
And in some ways, we're kind of breaking the rules a little bit because we put so much out, it's hard to absorb all of it.
I know it.
But there are, you know, there are a lot of key things that need to be done. But the biggest thing, I think neither one of us have privately talked to a teacher that was happy the way that things were going, not only for themselves, but also for the kids in the classroom.
That's exactly right.
And what type of product we're putting out.
That's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. I'd say 100% of the teachers that I talk to are worried. They're unhappy with how they have to teach now. Mm-hmm. They're unhappy at how the kids have to come to school and be tested, and they want them to enjoy school and develop a love for learning for the sake of learning, mm-hmm. become little sponges. And our product isn't what we want it to be. And so, you know, getting back to our original thing about vouchers, vouchers are, to me, a worrisome silver bullet quick fix for a few failing schools, certainly not a medicine that everybody needs to take. And it's not been proven effective in the past 50 years. Data proves that. And I just think gambling on quick fixes with the lives of our students is pretty dangerous. It doesn't seem the American way to do things. I think the way we've done it in the past, to back up and to think and to have communication face-to-face and to talk over things and come to a consensus, if that doesn't work, go back to square one and let's try it again. Let's try something else. But to jump into things willy-nilly on the lives and the education of our children, that's going to affect our country. What made our country strong is a good, free public education system for everyone. And that sounds like I'm waving the flag, and I am.
Good.
It's amazing. This is what will keep our country strong. And we don't need to be experimenting with it with things that are not backed by research.
I know it hasn't been around long, and part of it really hasn't started yet. But is there a way to grade the programs that they have put on education in the last couple of years?
I don't think so.
Is there a way to follow it to see what exactly happened?
Well, there should be. For example, they took away dues deduction, which did not let me have dues to my association. But it also took away my ability to pay a monthly stipend to the Boys and Girls Club or to the... So how silly is that? Mm-hmm. That was not going to improve education. I would look at all the legislation they did just last year and see, has any of it improved education?
Do you have a legislator that... a person that works in legislation that represents the teachers?
We have lobbyists, but all the teachers are lobbyists. That's one thing Mike Sparks said. I haven't talked to your lobbyists. We have a couple of professionals, but we are encouraged all the time to go up and just speak from our hearts.
We haven't talked to any lobbyists on education.
Who? Oh.
Any of our representatives?
Oh, Mike Sparks said he hasn't, but of course he is. I'm a lobbyist. I've been up to see him.
Well, we've run out of time, unfortunately. But we've got to have you back on.
Thank you.
It's such a deep issue that I don't think we could cover it in a month.
No, there's a lot of room. I'd love to come back.
But people need to take issue with what some of the things are going on.
I agree with you.
And start to educate themselves. I mean,
you can go online. If you've got an internet, you go online and simply type in data on vouchers or is dues deduction, will that help make education better? And you can get a lot on the internet. Or call a retired teacher. Call me.
Great show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next Monday morning at 9 o'clock.